Thank you for being here. Let's give praise to the Lord. Let's welcome those that are joining in. And those of you who are joining in are learning to join in a little bit earlier every Sunday. Because I'm redeeming the time. And because the clocks go so fast when I'm preaching. And I appreciate your patience and thank you. We welcome you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. And we consider it an honor for you to join us. This series is on the secret of His presence, the power of His blood. And you say, well, it sounds like two. No, no, they're very connected. May sound like different directions, but they're very, very connected. And we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle of David. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I'm going to show you that that's very, very important. As a matter of fact, when we talk about the Ark of the Covenant, any of the furniture, any of the offerings, any of the feast days in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, I'm telling you, pictures Jesus. And we have a supreme example of when Jesus came up on Mr. and Miss Disciple on the Emmaus Road. And this was right after the resurrection. And on that very day, Mr. and Miss Disciple were traveling to Emmaus Road, probably going home. And I call it the Disciple 10K because, you know, it's about seven miles. And so here they are going home, and they're troubled and disturbed, and Jesus comes up to visit with them, and he kind of clouds their eyes so that they don't recognize him. But he takes opportunity to present Jesus, present himself through the Old Testament. And so I want to tell you, I wish we had that recorded, but I want to tell you, we have it right here. And we have Holy Spirit to show us Jesus in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, New Testament says, this is in 1 Corinthians 10, it'd be verse 6 and 11, that the Old Testament is given to us as examples or as pictures for us is a good way to say that. And when you look at pictures, you see what not to do as examples and what to do. And so I want to tell you, the Word of God is profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction. It's for your guidance. It's for your direction. And I want to tell you, it's for us. But one of the main things you can do about the Old Testament is see Jesus in it. And the Holy Spirit loves to reveal Himself. And so in the Ark of the Covenant that we're talking about, see Jesus. There's probably of all the furniture in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant presents Jesus in such a clear way. The Tabernacle of David presents Jesus in such a clear way. And it goes something like this. I'm boiling it down to this. I've covered it in some of the other sermons. Go back and have a little look-see. But it comes down to this, that the Ark of the Covenant describes, the Tabernacle of David describes, that he wants to talk with you. He wants to talk with you. Man, when I found that out as a teenager, it blew me away. I'd been to church off and on. I'm telling you, I had. I'd already received Christ. But I want to tell you, I had no clue. I don't know why it didn't get through my thick head. I don't know if somebody didn't tell me or I didn't hear it. But I want to tell you, when it got through to the ears of my heart that Jesus wanted to talk to me personally, it blew me away. And that he loved me unconditionally. That he wanted to talk with me. He wanted to visit with me. That the priority of God for me was not serving. It was not being a slave or serving. But it was for fellowship. Wow. That was just so exciting. But this is what we're trying to show you through the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David. That he wants to visit with you. He wants to be with you. I want to tell you what God loves. He loves interaction. And he wants to be the center of your heart. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be the center of your family, your business, your church. Amen. He is power. He is present power. That's what the Ark of the Covenant presents. I'm telling you where the Ark of the Covenant was, the power of God was very present, very evident. And I want to tell you, he is powerful for living right now in 2024, or whenever you're listening to this, he is power for living right now. Man, in a day where the world is scared. Well, wait a minute. Churches are too. I want to tell you, he is protection. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David, represents the presence of God. Where he is, there is divine protection. Guess what? Where he is promised victory. Where he is, there's overflow of blessings. All right? Hey, to you and to your family, is that good news for you? Are you interested in that? Boy, we're going to get to that soon and very soon. But he is blessing to your family. And he is abundant life. Now, guess what? We don't have to go find the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, it represents the presence of Jesus because of New Covenant. Guess where he is now? He's right in here. And so I'm telling you, everything I said about the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David, is true for you. Hey, he's present. He's mercy. He's forgiveness. He's covering. Jesus wants you to see him and grow in the revelation. This is a lifetime journey of growing in the revelation of how his finished works on the cross have placed you in him. And the more you discover that, the more your life is transformed. The more you discover that, the more that the promises of God are very evident and manifested in your life. And so that's why that we're on an adventure here on earth. We're on an adventure. Okay? And so join the adventure. Get in on the journey. This life is exciting in Christ. I know a lot of people say, well, it's boring. It's not boring. Jesus wants you to see him and grow. You are in because of Jesus and salvation. If you recognize where you are in him, you are in his secret place. When you practice that manifestation, when you practice his presence, the manifestation of the secret place is evident in your life. Where you know that you know that you know that you're safe, you're protected, and you're secure in him. The more you recognize his truth and embrace it, you'll find that more and more your heart's at rest. Instead of like the world or like other believers out there that are practicing unbelieving, when you're practicing this truth, recognizing it, receiving it, responding to it, your heart is at rest instead of filled with worry. Instead of plagued by fears, you're evident of his rest and his peace. And so this is why we're saying that this series is to point you to Jesus so that you can let him be of highest value in your heart. Esteem his excellency. That's the theme this year for us. Esteem his excellency. We're touched and changed by his excellence when you esteem his excellency. When we are receiving his excellence, it results in excellent living. If it doesn't result in excellent living in active works, then faith is not complete. We got to stay in his love till his love is manifested in us and outside of us. Transformed in us to outside living. That's the way the Lord wants to do it. It's not by human manipulation or change of human behavior. It's transformation. And so this is why that we're looking at the Ark of the Covenant, because we want you to value your position in Christ. When you value who you are in Christ, supernatural power is manifested to you. It's manifested in you and outside of you. And I want to tell you, a lot of church life doesn't explain this. We're trying to do Christian life the same way that the world does. Well, just be a Boy Scout or just be this or be that. But I want to tell you, you can have a whole list of rules and regulation and spiritual aerobics that you're supposed to do in order to be something, and you can miss. As a matter of fact, you can get wore out and hurt. You can be miserable. In a Dallas Minute. And I know some people say that, well, you know, because I've preached in some places and preached in the Old Testament, and I'm thinking of one place in particular. This is in another state, so don't try to figure out where it is. And it was a large church. As a matter of fact, they had three services that morning. I had a blast, because by the time I preached the same sermon three times in a row, It was hot. And believe it or not, it actually got shorter. Yeah, there's not much faith in the room. It was a TV thing, so I was really restricted on the time, you know. But I'm trying to tell you something. This pastor told me, he said, brother, this is a New Testament church. And I said, well, I understand that. He said, well, we don't preach out of the Old Testament. It doesn't really apply. I said, well, let me just share with you a little bit of the heartbeat of the sermon. So I shared with him, and I said, now, if you want me to preach on something else, I will. But I shared with him a little heartbeat, and he said, I think we can go with that. And we did. And you know what? He got up afterwards and shared some application that was very relevant. And so, you know what? It is relevant. God's relevant. Some folk will say, well, the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David, that was Old Testament. That was for the people of Israel. It was for that time and that place and those people. But it's not important now. Well, that's not what Paul was saying when he talked about 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 11, that these truths in the Old Testament are given for examples to us now. And so, for example, if I am to tell you that this is a Davy Crockett rifle, and that it's, well, it's old and it's rusted and it's broken, boy, you can tell I fixed this and not Patrick. I use tape and glue. And I want to tell you something. I'd say, wow, this is amazing. And this is an amazing toy. It's a toy. And it's an amazing toy for me because I bought this for my son Zach at Disney World. And we were at Mickey Mouse's house. And, of course, Disney did a little movie years and years ago about Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And that was a very safe thing for my sons to watch. And Zach watched that movie. He became Davy Crockett. He had a coonskin hat. He had boots. He had the leather outfit with the fringes. And he memorized the movie, all the parts for everybody in it. And he acted it out during the movie. It was the cutest thing you ever seen. But when we were at Disney World and he saw this one, he said, Dad, that's the real Davy Crockett gun right there. I got to have it. And I bought it for him. The problem was getting it home. Because when I went on the plane with this, and this was back in the 80s. When I went on the plane with this, the stewards on the plane said, no way. You're not bringing that rifle on this plane. I said, my friend, this is Davy Crockett, and that's Davy Crockett right there. And this is very important to his life. There's a lot of bars he's got to kill in Texas. And we need this rifle. He said, that is not coming on this airplane. And I said, may I please speak to the captain? I appealed. I didn't throw a fit like some of the things you see on videos. I appealed, may I please see the captain? The captain came out and I said, sir, I respect your authority. Whatever you say, we're going to do. I said, but this is a Davy Crockett toy rifle. That's Davy Crockett right over there. And this is very important to his life. And it would mean a whole lot to me if you allow us to go back to Texas with this toy Davy Crockett rifle. He looked at the stewards, and they were all fussed up. And he looked at it, he said, I'll take it into my personal care till we depart. And he took it and took it in the cabin with him. And on the way out, he personally handed it to me. So that's why this rifle got here. And that means a lot to me. Because there was a lot of action with this rifle over the next few years. And I want to tell you something. You'd say, well, that doesn't mean much to me, and it's not important now. See, that's what some people say about the Ark of the Covenant. That's what some people say about the Tabernacle of David. But I want to tell you, Paul said these are examples for us. What if I told you that this is Davy Crockett's real rifle? Well, the sense of value would go very high. That he died in the Alamo fighting for Texas freedom, and this was the type of rifle that he had, except it was real, and it was broken because he ran out of ammo. They were on him so fast, so much, that he didn't have time to reload, and he took it and used it as a club, and so he fought till he was stabbed by a bayonet from an enemy rifle, and so he died swinging it, shooting it and swinging it. Now, if I were to tell you that this is the actual rifle, well, the value would go way, way up. Now, listen. Hey, I'm telling you, Davy Crockett died for your freedom, your liberty, your blessed life as a Texan. Well, that's good. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your freedom, for your liberty, for your forgiveness, so you could have a blessed life as a believer, as a member of the kingdom of God while you live on this earth, and not just here, but forever and ever and ever. Now see, that's when that you say the Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus. You could say this rifle represents Davy Crockett. No, I'm telling you, hey, let me tell you something real. The Ark of the Covenant, the Tabernacle of David, represents Jesus. It represents his finished works on the cross. And when we value, have high value of who he is, then this will have great effect on your life. Are you seeing that? And so I'm telling you, value Jesus. That's why we preach about the cross over and over again. You say, well, I already know it. No. We're seeking higher and deeper revelation of Jesus. Because the deeper and higher revelation of Jesus, the more it affects our life, the more it affects our life, the more it transforms us. Not only for us, but all those that we know. And so his presence, which the Ark of the Covenant represents, is right now love for you. Right now help for you. Right now blessing for you. His blood has never lost its power. Forgiveness is for you. His rest is for you. His victory is for you. And so it's freely given. It needs to be freely received. It's been highly paid for. And so we saw that here was David. He had a purpose, a great purpose, a God purpose, agreement with God to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Mount Zion, back to Jerusalem, the center of God's people, because he wants to be in the center of you. But he didn't follow God's way. And so it's important for us to understand, and I covered this at the last of the sermon last week. It's important for you to do what God wants. Do you know what God wants? It's important for you to do what God wants. Because we're his, we belong to him. We want him to be fulfilled in our life. And in the lives of those that we love, and even the lives of those we don't know. But it's also important for us to do it God's way. You say, well, I don't know what he wants. This is what this guidepost is all about. Because this is given for you to get to know him. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to visit with you. Hey, listen to me. He wants to fellowship with you. There were the people of God back then. Before David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, they ignored the very presence of God. It's possible for you to even open this book and look at a scripture a day and ignore his presence. That's why we're telling you it's good for you to have a Devo. But I want to tell you, we want you to have an encounter with God. It's good for you to look at his word. But I want to tell you, he wants you to see him in the word. And so he's given this book for you to get to know him. So it's good for you to find out God's purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for every one of you. But it's also important for you to find out how does God want you to apply his word? The Holy Spirit, it's his job to teach you how to apply it. You say, well, that's why, pastors and teachers. No, we're just helpers. We're just under shepherds. We give a part, we share a part. But it's the Holy Spirit that's able to take those principles, those truths out of the Word of God and personally apply them to your life. That's what Holy Spirit does. He is our helper. He teaches us. He may use some of us impartial, but he's the completer. And he loves to reveal Jesus to you. You say, well, I don't know. Well, ask. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's A-S-K. And I'll tell you what he does. He will tell you his word. He will tell you by his word, by his spirit. He will give you what Bible calls wisdom. And wisdom is directive from God. It's right now for you words from God. That's what wisdom is. And he'll give it to you. And he not only says, he's not stingy with it. He says he'll give it to you freely. And he'll give it to you more and more and more if you just continue to seek. Ask, seek, and knock. He will give you wisdom. He'll show you what to do and how to do it. David didn't do this. Now, listen, the tendency is for us to do what David did, to operate the world's way. You see, the Philistines had brought the had sent the ark to the people of Israel because, boy, they were fed up with it. It was working them over. I told you last week, the ark was defending itself. Jesus is able to do that, you know. But I'm here to tell you, they put it that Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart, and they sent, I'm sorry, offering with it. Okay, because they had been infected by rats, by mice. And you know, I told you, they had all been come down with hemorrhoids. Not just one city. Everybody say, ow. Okay, some of you never had them, apparently. I'm telling you, the whole city, five cities came down with it. Every place the ark went. Not just hemorrhoids, but there was absolutely ulcers and tumors that were inside of them that came out of them. Okay, I'm not going to get real restrictive there. But I'm telling you, they made gold representatives of what they felt like God had done to them, and they made them gold rats and gold piles, I'll call it, and they put them on top of the Ark of the Covenant and put milk cows there to pull the ark. And so the tendency was for David just to do what the Philistines did. Well, that's the way the world operates. I've had people tell me, well, you know, they out in the world, they do it all the time. I don't know why I'm in trouble. Why did I get caught? Everybody else doing it. Well, if you belong to God, you're his. And he has a way of exposing you because he loves you too much to allow you to continue in a destructive behavior. And he will lovingly, as gently as he can, as hard as he has to, will try to turn your life back toward him. Because he loves you. Because he wants blessing and benefit to you. He doesn't want you to destroy yourself. He didn't design you for a lifestyle of destruction, but for a lifestyle of blessing. He wants you close. And so he will lovingly and gently as he can, hard as he has to, turn you and bring you back toward himself. Now, so let's not do things the world's way, believers, churches. Let's not do things the world's way. Hey, believers, just because the world does something and they get away with it, or the world does something and it seems to work, that doesn't mean that's God's design for you. But he wants to tell you. And he'll give you wisdom and direction. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world. See, don't do it the world's way. I love this, and the Wellers gave me an amplified amplifier this week. It's absolutely a description in Greek that goes beyond the amplified. You know I like amplified. That's what this is in. You say, well, it's harder to read, but it's more descriptive. I'm more interested in you not having an easy read. I'm more interested in you getting the message. And so I want to tell you, but listen to the way that this Greek, amplified Greek, brings it out. It says, stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by renewing your mind. I love that. You say, boy, that's wordy. Well, I'll tell you, I love the way it's presented, because I want to tell you, by renewing our mind to the Word of God, the expression of Jesus comes from within us to the outside of us. Don't be satisfied with the outward expression in us that the world expresses. You're different. You're not like the world. You have Jesus Christ in you. The Spirit of the living God dwells within you. And so we're not to be fashioned by the world, or I love the term that says be poured into the mold of the world. You're different. You're not just a human. You got Jesus in you. Full-grown Jesus. The full embodiment of the fullness of God. That's what Bible says. And so I want to tell you, be transformed. How are we changed? We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. You get a new attitude, a new mindset from the Word of God. Your old computer program is reprogrammed like Jesus. Why? So that you can be a living example. So that you can be a living billboard of how real Jesus is. So that you may prove for yourselves. Do you see that? Romans 12:2. Why are you renewed in your mind and transformed by the Word of God? So that you may prove for yourselves what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to tell you, you can prove it yourself. You know what this is saying? Is that, yes, we have these epistles, and we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and we got Paul, we got Timothy. Listen, we got these guys revealing the words and the works of God, the way of God. I want to tell you what this is saying. Let your mind be renewed by the Word of God. See, this is why the enemy, you have so much trouble getting, you know, we have more trouble getting people in the Word. You know the common thing? I don't have time for that. I just don't understand it. Well, the Holy Spirit will show you. If you seek, if you ask, if you humble yourself, it's your approach to the Lord. And He wants to transform your life by renewing your mind. That's why that you get up in the morning and every kind of idea and thought and every kind of thing that would happen to keep you out of the Word of God. That's why that you have more trouble on Sunday morning getting somewhere, like church, than you would any other day of the week. Now, I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm so thankful you're here. But I want to tell you, if you were going to a workplace on Monday and it rained on Monday morning, you'd be there. Hello. I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm thankful for every person. I'm rejoicing. I'm celebrating. But I'm trying to tell you that this is the opportunity that we have is to prove in your own life as a living epistle that Jesus Christ is real and the Word of God is powerful for your life. And if you're a living epistle, it says to everybody else, believers and unbelievers, that what God has done for them, listen to what the Holy Spirit says, what I did for them, I can do for you. Isn't that great? You can prove it. Even which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Now, not only is it a blessing to you, but it's a blessing to everybody that you love and care for. Not only is it a blessing for you and everybody that you care for, even those that you don't know that see God, but it pleases the Lord. That's the ultimate. It pleases the Lord. Isn't that great? So don't be poured into the mold of this world. Have a different expression. Have the expression of the Spirit of Jesus coming through you and not the normal expression of the world. Somebody say amen to that. Okay. The Philistines put the ark on a cart pulled by two milk cows that had calves. And this is in 1 Samuel 6. Well, why is this important? Well, because if you know anything, and you ought to as Texans, but if you know anything about milk cows and calves, a milk cow will not separate from the calf. As a matter of fact, if a calf gets separated, the milk cow's on the look-see. Okay, I saw this happen just last year on a ranch that I was fishing in. Somehow, some way, a calf got on one side of the lake with a different set of cattle than where mama was on the other side of the lake in a different pasture. And I want to tell you, baby was crying. Mama was hollering for baby. Baby was hollering for mama. I'm on the lake going like this. This is pretty cool. And I want to tell you, it didn't take long at all for mama and baby to reunite. And they met together on the dam up there, and it was a beautiful recovery. Okay? And the sound was going off. And so I want to tell you, it's not normal, it's not natural for a milk cow to leave her calf. And so what they did was this is what the Philistines said. Let's put these two milk cows on this pulling this cart, put the Ark of the Covenant on here, put the I'm sorry offerings on top of the Ark of the Covenant here on this wagon, on this cart, and we'll point them toward the Israeli land. And if they go, we know it's God, because these milk cows will not leave their calves. If they do a turnaround and come back, then we can say it wasn't their God. It was just a coincidence or just bad luck for five cities to be infected the same way. Okay? And so you know what happens? Load it all up, put it up. Calves are in here crying in the barn. And the mama cows are crying because they're away from their calves. But you know what they did? They headed right toward the Israelis. And they crossed over into Israeli land. And I want to tell you, I think, like, because I saw this with a fire engine just the other day. The fire engine was sounding an alarm, and everybody was stopping and looking. I think those cows were sounding the alarm. We're away from our calves, but we're on a divine mission. You know why they were on a divine mission? Because Jesus is in charge of animals. And he told the milk cows, go that way, and they went. They might have been hollering about it, but they did what a lot of Christians don't do. They obeyed. Now, don't think that God can't speak to the cows, cow to the cows, because he can. He spoke fish to the fish. He told the fish that swallowed up Jonah, you go chase after that boat and swallow everything they throw off. And he swallowed the man of God. And then God told him after 3 days, now you go over there and eject him. Boy, that was a nice word, don't you know? You go over there and eject him on that land right there. And he did. And I want to tell you, when Jesus was on earth and it came time for him to enter into Jerusalem, and it was the day of celebration where they would celebrate his arrival, it was prophesied in Scripture that he would ride on a foal that had never been ridden before. And so when Jesus told the disciples, you go into this local town here, and you're going to find a foal tied up there, and there'll be a mama donkey there, and you tell the owner that the master has use of this foal. And it was one that had never been ridden. And so when they brought, and sure enough, it happened. Now, can't you imagine the disciples going up to get the foal? They're going to accuse us of stealing, you know. What are we going to do? If they want to fight, you know. And no, hey, Jesus had the way prepared. He's got it prepared for you and I. We don't have to understand how it's going to work out. We just do what he says. Hear God and do what he says. That's wisdom. And if you do what he says, it means you love him. If you don't do what he says, it means you don't love him. You say, oh, Pastor Tim, that's not 3 Timothy. That's over there in 1 John. Okay? But I'm telling you what happened here is that they brought this foal to Jesus that had never been ridden. And so you know what happens. Hey, you're a Texan. You know what happens. It's going to be rodeo time. You get on one that had never been ridden before, it's going to be rodeo. Put the hat on tight. No. Jesus spoke to the donkey. You're going to fulfill my purpose for your little life today. You get to carry the master of all creation. The one that created you is going to have authority over you and ride you today. And you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your little life. You're going to bring honor and glory to the master today. And he got on. There was no rodeo. You see, Jesus can speak donkey to the donkey, fish to the fish. He can speak cow to the cow. And you know what? No matter what language you speak, he can speak to you. If you'll just humble your heart and turn your ear toward him, he wants you to hear him call your name personally. That's your Lord. So sure enough, the cows headed directly to return to God's people. And he came up on the first city there, Beth Shemesh. And the men were out in the fields reaping the wheat harvest. And they see and recognize the Ark of the Covenant on a cart being pulled by a couple of milk cows. And I believe, like the fire engine, the cows were sounding the alarm. Here we are, here we come. And so they noticed it, they saw it. Now, the Bible says that behind all of this, from a ways back, because they didn't want to get too close, was the Philistine lords, or what we would call them mayors of those five cities, that had come together and said, let's get rid of this thing. And so they were following way behind to see what would happen. 1 Samuel 6:13 says, now the men of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes. I think it's because they heard the cows sounded the siren. They lifted up their eyes and they saw the ark, and they recognized it and they rejoiced to see it. Now I love this. I want to tell you, they get off to a good start here. They set aside the gold figurines, the offering, offering that the Philistines sent. They set that aside. They set the ark on a great stone, and boy, there's a picture there. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. And I want to tell you, everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you are needs to be based on the rock. I could go there. Okay. They put it on a great stone, and they tore up the cart, which is good. They tore up that cart, and they used the wood for fire, and they offered the cows as a sacrificial offering to the Lord, and there was great rejoicing. So they got off to a great start. But that didn't last very long. Now I want to tell you, that didn't shock me. Because I see people every year that get off to a great start in the Lord, and it doesn't last for very long. Now don't be too shocked, because in the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about that there would be people that would receive the word of God initially with great joy, but no depth. No depth. And that their soil, which is the heart, would soon, the precious seed would be stolen. Let me tell you, the enemy wants to steal the precious word out of your heart. If you've got rocky ground in your heart, the seed is not going to be received like it could. If your heart's full of weeds, which is the things and cares of this earth, if your heart is full of weeds, then the precious divine seed of the Word of God is not going to plant and reproduce like it could. Do you see that? And so I'm telling you, let's not be too shocked. And so, but what happens here is they got off to a good start. There was great rejoicing. But 1 Samuel 6:19, look at this. But the Lord slew some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He slew 70 men of them. And the people mourned because the Lord had made a great slaughter of them. Now I want to tell you, you see a couple things here. And I'm just going to point this out real quick because I can't stay here. But when it says that the Lord slew 70 of them, Some of the Hebrew scholars say, no, it wasn't just 70. It was 50,070. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I want to tell you something. It was a great slaughter if it was 70 or 50,070. But I kind of lean toward the 50,070 because the Word of God says great slaughter among them. I want to tell you this. The sin of Beth Shemesh needs to be recognized by the people of God. And I'm going to do my best to try to present this morning in the minutes I got left. Because I want to tell you something. The sin of Beth Shemesh not only affects you, but it affects thousands. Okay? God slew some of the men because they removed the mercy seat and looked into the ark. I want to tell you what this is. This is having a familiarity with the Word of God, the will of God, and the ways of God that we shouldn't have. It's a familiarity that takes it all lightly. Well, I hope you're listening. It took the Word of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God lightly. Now, I know that some of you are thinking immediately, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They opened the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and they all, you know. No, I want to tell you something. It was bigger than that, and it was badder than that. And it's a worse sin, and it's still being done today. Okay? What started out as a celebration and rejoicing turned to ungratefulness, a taking for granted and a disrespect of God. And when you do that, I'm going to show you in the New Testament, when you do that, it opens the door for death. Let's be honest. The world, man, I don't like those creepy shows that talk about the living dead walking around. Don't watch them things. But I want to tell you, they are. The world's like that. They're alive, but they're like zombies walking around. Death's in control of them. I want to tell you what's really sad is that there are believers that confess Christ, that say they know Christ, they go to church, but their life is just like the zombies. There's greater manifestation of death around their life than it is abundant life, Zoe life of God. Wow. It can all happen by the sin of Beth Shemesh, of taking God for granted, disrespecting God. And I want to tell you, death comes, and there's more of an awareness. Would you get this? Instead of an awareness of the fruit of the Spirit in their life, there's a greater awareness of the manifestation of death. There's more weeping and mourning. When you're walking with the Lord, you're in His Word, man, you're enjoying the saints at church, you're enjoying your marriage relationship because there's the blessing of God in your home, on your marriage, you're enjoying blessings and you're celebrating, but I want to tell you, at your best, soon and very soon, you can become ungrateful. And I want to tell you, that's where it starts. Ungrateful, taken for granted, disrespect, dishonor. Romans 1:21, are you ready? This is how you see it. Because when they knew and recognized Him as God. Now, a lot of believers would say, oh, yeah. I know Him. I recognize Him as God. Yeah, God's worked in my life. You know, I've given my life to God. But then I came to a place where I didn't honor Him. Disrespect. Dishonor. Wait a minute. I was too familiar with the things of God. I didn't count it worthy. Disrespect, dishonor. I didn't glorify Him as God. You see, that's the first step. The next step is I didn't give Him thanks. I want to tell you, when you're not thankful to the Lord, when you're not practicing that thanksgiving and praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, it means you've taken Him for granted. Watch out. That's possible for any of us. I deal with pastors that this happens. If it happens to a pastor, it can happen to you. You know what it is? They get bored. They get tired. They get discouraged. They get burnt out. And you know what? They begin to think of it just as a job or as a routine or as a slavery, something they got to do instead of enjoying the fellowship and the freshness of God. Wow, is that too much for you? Did I lose you on this? Okay, it's important for us to give. If you're not thankful to God, watch out. You won't be thankful for people around you. If you're unthankful, ungrateful for people around you, you better watch out. It probably means you're ungrateful to God. Okay, Brother Tim, Papa T, here we go. So let's look at what happens next. They disesteem the Lord, and they do not practice thanksgiving. They're ungrateful, and they become futile and godless in their thinking. This is when people that you know have had a walk with God in the past, some of the most stupid things are coming out of their mouth. And you say, wait a minute, this is not the person I used to know. Why would they say something that they've imagined like this that's so out of character for them? Well, it's because they first disesteemed the Lord and they became ungrateful. They didn't practice thanksgiving, because to practice thanksgiving means you're in humility before God. When you're not in humility before God, pride comes in. And when pride comes in, look what's happened to the heart. You begin to have foolish reasoning. And they'll begin to reason. Instead of using the Word of God, they begin to reason, well, the reason such and such and such and such is because such and such. Well, it's the same thing the world says. Okay? Hey, this is the way the Amplified puts it, stupid speculations. Where they assume that the reason I am where I am because of other people and other things happened to me and it ain't my fault. That is stupid speculations. Well, it's just because of what happened to me and I can... stupid speculations. And guess what happened? There's another step. Are you ready? They're senseless minds, minds without wisdom, operating on human wisdom, human reasoning. Their minds become darkened. Now let me tell you something. When the mind becomes darkened, the heart's becoming darkened. And that's why that you've known some people at one time in their life had a walk with God, and now they have a dark life. If it can happen to them, it could happen to you. Why do you think, wait a minute now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians that these are given as examples for. Why do you think the picture of the sin of Beth Shemesh is saying to us today? Don't take God lightly. Don't take the things of God for granted. We need to practice esteeming the Lord. We need to practice thanksgiving. Hey, celebrating praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We need to practice filling our mind with the wisdom of God, with God's words, God's thoughts. Because I want to tell you, this 360, Highway 360 in Romans 1:21 goes both ways. This is how to go away from God and become dark. But at the same time, as we practice this in the opposite, that route goes north, that 360 north toward God. Because I want to tell you, when we practice recognizing Him as God, and we honor and glorify Him, and we practice giving thanks to Him, then our heart becomes full of the thoughts of God and the Word of God. Then I want to tell you what happens. Our minds become minds of wisdom because we're hearing God and following God, and our hearts become enlightened. Do you see that? I'm going to put it to you real simple. When you practice this toward God, your heart becomes more sensitive to Him. When you practice this away from God, 360 South, your heart becomes more insensitive to Him. So how do we get where we get? There it is. 1 Samuel 6:20. So the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, the Holy God, and to whom shall He go away from us?" In other words, they said, "Hey, we've seen the holiness of God and we're scared. We don't want Him." I can't tell you how many people I've met out in the marketplace and try to talk to them about Jesus, and they say, "Oh, wait, I don't know all about that. I was saved at such and such age, and I used to go to church on a regular basis." I said, "Well, where are you at now?" "Oh, we don't do that no more. We did the God thing. We're just relaxing. We're just resting. We're just doing our own thing." You know what? Something happened here. And I want to tell you something. You see the holiness of God, there's two responses: toward God or away from God. Okay. Those who were left got a fresh vision of the holiness of God. How do we respond? They were afraid of Him. You know what that is? That's what New Testament calls a slavish fear. Afraid of Him. Condemnation. That God's going to get us. Now, when you see the holiness of God, you either go to a slavish fear or you go to a son fear. A son fear is a reverential love for God. It's the fear of a son that doesn't want to disappoint his dad because he loves his dad. Do you see a difference in that, between that and a slave? Do you see that? Man, I'm going to have to preach on that if y'all don't say amen to that. I'll preach on it anyway. But it's surrender and submission. Okay, these folk responded wrong. Hey, a lot of people today respond wrong. That's why they're not in church. Hey, they disesteem God. They disesteem the Word of God. They've become familiar with the words and the ways of God. And you know what? They're afraid of God. We hear them say things like this. This is why people say things, "Well, I'm not going back there. If I go back there, lightning might strike." Do you understand what they're saying? They're talking about fear, afraid of God. It's a slavish fear, not a son fear. A son can be disciplined, but a son is well loved. You see the difference? I hope you do, because it makes a difference. They decided distance from Him, from His presence, is safer. That's why a lot of people are not here. No, lordship is surrendering. And I want to tell you, Surrendering is not only safer because you have His divine protection, but His love life is greater. You have greater intimacy. If you run from God, and this is what I'm going to say, I don't want to wrap this up, but I'm just going to tell you this. If you run from God, you believe wrong. Hey, I'm announcing this to you. If you believe wrong, you're going to think wrong. Did you see that? If you think wrong, you're going to act wrong. If you act wrong, listen to me, you're going to live wrong. If you believe right, you're going to think right. If you think right, you're going to act right. If you act right, you're going to live right. Does anybody see this? This is why we promote renewing your mind with the Word of God. God's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's still working on us, and that's a good thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I'm going to share this, and I got to get at least this far. 1 Samuel 6:21. They sent messengers. They said, we don't want them. We're scared of them. We don't want anything to do with them. So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Gerasirom. I'm going to say KJ, because I can say it the same way every time. They sent inhabitants, sent messengers to KJ saying, hey, the Philistines have returned the Ark of the Lord. Why don't you come down and take it up to you? We don't want them here. You know what they were saying? Would you listen to this? They were saying the same thing the Philistines said. When believers say the same thing about God that unbelievers say, they're believing wrong. They're thinking wrong. They're acting wrong. They're living wrong. They have a wrong view of God. They removed the mercy seat and looked at the law. God never wanted that to happen. Now, I'm going to have to preach on this part next week. But I'm telling you, I'm ready to roll with it. If we had a part two, and somebody said, this is not part three, it's part 2.5 because you didn't finish last week. Well, this would be part 2.8 then, next week. And I thought that was kind of cute. Somebody's listening. But you cannot look at the law and live the life. When you look at the law, sin of Beth Shemesh, death. Law brings death. Grace brings life. When Moses brought down the law, 3,000 people died. When Jesus released grace through the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. You see a difference? I want you to see this next week. Would you be here next week? Would you tune in next week, those of you watching in, so we can show you the difference between grace and law? Because law brings death. Now, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and He's saying to you, there's more of a manifestation of death on you than the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, the abundant life of Jesus, then I want to tell you, that's not God's fault. I want to tell you, it wasn't God's fault that those people died. They dishonored and disobeyed God. I want to tell you, when you go against God, you invite death. He says He presents before us life and death, blessings and cursings. And He tells us, choose life, because I want to be involved. I want to be releasing the blessing, my love on your life. Don't choose against me, choose for me. I'm going to announce it like this, and we're finished with this. What you decide about Jesus, Father decides about you. Wait a minute. You receive His Son, He receives you. You welcome His Son, He welcomes you. You say yes to His Son, He says yes to you. You say no to His Son, He says no to you. You reject His Son, He rejects you. This is in the long run. That's not His heart. He sent His Son, His well-loved, beloved Son, and rejected His Son so you could be received. I want to tell you, there's more to this life than the atmosphere and the manifestation of death on your life. I want to tell you, you say, well, that's where I've been. Well, that can change. I want to tell you the difference Christ makes for your life, the difference the Word of God makes for your life. It makes you different. And when you allow Him to make your life different, your life is different. Your life changes. That's God for you. He's available for you. He wants that for you. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you that you paid an extreme price for us to receive life, and your life is greater than any form of death. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that grace and mercy are above the law. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you designed us for mercy. You designed us for forgiveness. You designed us for a love life. Lord Jesus, we receive your words and we say yes to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for drawing our heart by grace into your sweet fellowship and sweet forgiveness and sweet blessed life that you paid for us to receive. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.